Killing the messenger, the disappearance and probable killing of a prominent Saudi journalist raising alarms. Was it a botched interrogation or an assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, a fierce critic of Saudi's crown prince? And why are so many reporters around the world being detained, kidnapped, or killed? Is this the price of liberty in the 21st century? Hello and welcome to Plugged In. I'm Greta Van Susteren. On today's show, Journalism Under Fire, we talked to Jason Rezaian, global opinions writer for The Washington Post, who was imprisoned in Iran for 544 days while serving as the Washington Post correspondent in Tehran, Iran. VOA's Pakistan and Afghanistan bureau chief, Aisha Tanzim. She joins us from our Kabul studio to tell her experience working as a journalist in one of the world's most dangerous regions. And Robert Mahoney, deputy executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. He discusses the state of press freedom and the rising rate of intimidation of journalists worldwide. We're live on Facebook at Voice America and want your comments and questions. On October 2nd, Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi vanished without a trace. Security cameras outside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, captured Khashoggi entering the building, but no footage of him leaving the building has ever been seen. Khashoggi is believed to have been murdered inside the Saudi consulate, a charge initially denied by the Saudis. But after mounting pressure from some governments and media outlets, and after many global business leaders pulled out of a high-profile business conference in Riyadh, the Saudis may be ready to admit that Khashoggi was killed during a botched interrogation. VOA's Cindy Sain has the latest.
President Donald Trump dispatched Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to Saudi Arabia and Turkey to find out what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. Back in the United States, Vice President Mike Pence called for answers to questions about the Saudi journalist's disappearance, noting the world needs to know if Khashoggi was in fact murdered and who ordered it.
Any loss of life is grievous. Any act of violence that claims a life is to be condemned. But this was also an assault on a free and independent press. So we're going to demand answers.
Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Turkey on October 2nd and never left. The journalist's unexplained disappearance and reports he was killed and dismembered have outraged U.S. lawmakers.
If Saudi Arabia took a U.S. resident, lured him into a consulate and killed him, it's time for the United States to rethink our military, political, and economic relationship with Saudi Arabia.
In a letter to the White House, a bipartisan group of 22 U.S. senators is urging an investigation under the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act. The act is named for Sergei Magnitsky, a Russian lawyer and accountant who died in a Moscow prison after reporting tax fraud involving Russian government officials. Bill Browder, who hired Magnitsky for the corruption probe, was central in the legislation's approval in 2012. He told VOA the Global Magnitsky Act was passed specifically for this type of horrifying crime.
The basic rules of the Magnitsky Act is to sanction people who are involved in torture, extrajudicial killings, and other human rights abuses, and particularly people who are critics of regimes or journalists or whistleblowers. And here you have exactly that type of situation.
Browder applauds U.S. lawmakers' tough stance and says he hopes for an equally forceful response from the Trump administration. Activists are also calling for accountability. Rob Bershinsky of Human Rights First says the Saudi government, under Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, has undertaken a number of extraordinary and troubling acts in recent months.
Everything from detaining the Prime Minister of Lebanon to imprisoning women's rights activists, imprisoning a number of members of the Saudi royal family.
Bershinsky tells VOA other heads of state and government are looking to the United States for leadership on this matter, particularly since Khashoggi lived in the U.S. state of Virginia. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Washington Post writer Jason Rezaian knows firsthand about the dangers of working as a journalist. He has written a book to be released in January about his 2014 arrest and imprisonment in Iran while working at the Washington Post Tehran as a correspondent. He spent 544 days, almost a year and a half, in prison in Iran. He is finally released on January 16, 2016. Jason Rezaian was also Jamal Khashoggi's colleague at the Washington Post. So tell me, Jason, first of all, nice to have you join us.
Thanks,
You first met Khashoggi how?
I met Jamal this past summer. We're both writing for the global opinion section of the Washington Post. We met in the newsroom. We were having a conversation about Saudi Arabia and Iran, kind of comparing and contrasting these two countries that we know very well. And the relationship was starting to blossom a bit. We had mutual friends in town. We spent some time socializing over the past few months. And I was looking forward to a very long and fruitful collaboration with a really wonderful journalist.
What was his career? I mean, he had a long career, started off not as a journalist.
Yeah, he'd been living in the kingdom and was an advisor in some capacity to the government of Saudi Arabia, to the royal family. But over the years had become more active in journalism and was the head of a newspaper in Saudi Arabia, a very popular one. And about a year ago, just over a year ago, he decided that it wasn't safe for him in that country anymore because he had been criticizing the royal family and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and it just didn't feel safe anymore. And he decided to come to the United States, and the Post opinion section gave him a platform to continue his writing.
You think they felt safe in Turkey because he was in Turkey to marry his fiancée, and he'd gone in apparently to get some divorce papers or some papers so that he could marry her. Did he ever say anything about Turkey?
He never discussed it with me, but I doubt that he would have gone there if he didn't feel safe. I mean, he didn't want to be seen as a dissident, and he didn't want to be, have his liberty taken from him. So I don't think that he would have gone there if he didn't feel comfortable doing so.
Well, Saudi Arabia first said, we don't know anything about it. He left through the back door. Now they changed the story and said there may be a botched interrogation. Then we hear that there were two groups sent on two private planes, one with he does autopsies, so naturally, the thought of him being cut up. I mean, the facts get more gruesome and more gruesome. And now it seems that, we may perhaps get more information out of Saudi Arabia. But is it now becoming, in your view, I mean, what's the message to journalists around the world?
I think it's a terrible message to journalists and a very clear one, that you're not safe wherever you go. More and more, we're seeing journalists arrested, harassed, murdered, and often in countries that are allies of the United States or democracies, right? And this was not an issue that we had to deal with very much in the past. It's on the rise, and it's a moment where the United States needs to have a position on this and needs to come out vociferously and say, we don't support this. We support freedom of the press and protection of the press. And I don't see that happening.
Well, historically, the United States, has been quite tolerant, to use lack of a better word, with Saudi Arabia. This is not particularly new. I mean, we have a huge arms deal with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is fighting the war in Yemen against Iran, a proxy war. The United States, of course, is, at odds with Iran. So this is not new in this administration.
Right.
People want accountability, but in what form is the accountability when there's so much diplomacy and so much money on the table?
Well, that's a great question, and I think President Trump a couple of days ago made it very clear. There's probably no accountability. He said very clearly that I don't want to let this get in the way of our defense contracts with Saudi Arabia. Well, that might have been the policy over many years and many administrations. But not the stated one. And I think it sends the wrong message, not only to journalists, not only to dissidents from countries like Saudi Arabia, but to the leadership of Saudi Arabia. That, hey, you know what? You can get away with whatever you want. As long as we keep doing business together, everything's going to be just fine. As a journalist, as an American, as a human being, I find that attitude pretty disgusting.
Senator Lindsey Graham says that the Crown Prince must go. And he's a pretty influential senator. Of course, he can't himself get rid of the Crown Prince or take him away from his position. But does that have an impact when U.S. senators, sort of take to the public airwaves and make statements? I mean, does that resonate over in Saudi Arabia, do you think?
I sure hope so. I don't think it resonates in Saudi Arabia, but I hope it resonates here in Washington. And that's where the change is going to have to begin. And I think that the fact that the Congress, that the Senate, more and more voices in the media, the Vice President, everybody's saying that we need accountability, except President of the United States. I hope that he gets on that train and decides that, hey, we need to do something about this, and I hope that the Saudis realize that they don't have carte blanche to just do whatever they want everywhere in the world.
I'm sort of at a loss at what that accountability would be. I mean, you've got Britain, Germany, France as well calling for more information,
right,
which is code for, you know, accountability. Everyone's calling for it, but, you know, if everyone doesn't step up and do something,
right,
you know, I don't know what that accountability is, except that an expressed outrage of a murder, of what appears to be an assassination, a hit.
And then, again, in the background, if you're saying that your defense contracts are safe with us, even in spite of this, then that accountability means nothing. That outrage means nothing. So there needs to be some action, and I think invoking the Magnitsky Act would be a great way to start. And, you know, there are people in the Saudi government, if the reports are true, that know exactly what happened, why it happened, and who ordered it. They need to pay.
And it appears that they knew beforehand.
Well,
that's even more amoral, is to be part of it or look the other way.
Exactly. And the fact that this may have been a premeditated murder of a journalist is something that should not be able to stand.
Jason, nice to see you. I look forward to reading your book out in January. I look forward to reading it.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you.
With the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, stories of journalists around the world being arrested, intimidated, or even killed for doing their job are grabbing headlines. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, just this year, 44 journalists have already been killed for doing their jobs. And while the list of the world's most censored countries has remained more or less, the same new hostility towards the media is emerging from previously friendly quarters. Rights organizations say the freedom of the press, rather than proving, is increasingly at risk. VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports.
As journalists rushed to the scene to cover a blast in Kabul, an Islamic State suicide bomber, disguised as a member of the media, blew himself up in a secondary blast, killing 9 journalists. It was a stark reminder of the dangers journalists face in conflict zones. Countries at war are still the most dangerous places for the media. But war is far from the only threat to the freedom of press today. According to the annual Press Freedom Index published by Reporters Without Borders, or RSF, hostility towards the media is growing, and not just in authoritarian regimes. The United States, for example, has fallen to 45th place in the index. RSF called President Donald Trump a media-bashing enthusiast who has referred to reporters as enemies of the people. The group says arrests and violence against journalists in the U.S. rose last year.
We do see a correlation between this verbal violence against journalists from the presidency and the physical violence here. But what we also see is the impact worldwide that these remarks against press freedom have.
White House officials say Trump's is one of the most accessible administrations in decades. A spokeswoman called it ridiculous to suggest otherwise. Last year, the number of journalists imprisoned for their work hit a record high, with Turkey, China, and Egypt as the worst offenders, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. In Europe, the region with the most respect for press freedom, 2 reporters were shot dead in the last 1 year for doing their job. In India, according to RSF, troll armies on social media, allegedly hired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, attacked journalists critical of the government. A female journalist, Gauri Lankesh, was assassinated for criticism of right-wing Hindu extremism. In neighboring Pakistan, journalists and activists fear arrests or enforced disappearances. And RSF says the media is often barred from covering certain issues by the strong military establishment. Journalists say without the right to question the people in power, all the other rights are at risk.
Press freedom is the basic pillar of democracy and is the basic pillar of a society that needs to grow, that wants to grow.
According to Freedom House, global press freedom has declined to its lowest point in 13 years. Only 13% of the world's population enjoys a press that is truly free. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
As VOA's Pakistan and Afghanistan bureau chief, Aisha Tanzim knows all about working in some of the world's most dangerous regions for journalists. She's here with us live via satellite from Kabul, Afghanistan. Nice to see you. And let me first talk to you about the issue. There's press freedom and there's press danger. Let me focus on the press danger. Do you find that it's getting increasingly more dangerous for journalists in certain parts of the world?
Yes, it is. In this part of the world where I am, 2018 was the most deadly year for Afghan journalists in the 17 years of war. As you saw at the beginning of my report, journalists were specifically targeted in a secondary attack by the Islamic State group. The secondary bomber was disguised as a TV cameraman, and they have a FM channel broadcast in which they routinely threaten journalists. So in neighboring India too, we've seen, which we haven't seen before, at least three or four activists and journalists killed just because they were critical of the right-wing Hindu fundamentalists. So actually, the dangers are going up for journalists.
All right, we expect there'll be dangers like car accidents. That's naturally can happen in any occupation. But is it, you know, do journalists have to worry about assassinations, about being targets? Is that an increased danger?
Yes, it is, because as part of the job, just last month, another Afghan TV reporter was killed as he was live on air just reporting on an explosion and a secondary bomb went off. But particularly in Pakistan and Afghanistan, kidnappings are a big threat. And you're not just kidnapped by Islamic State or Taliban. You're kidnapped by criminals because they see you as a money bag, kidnappings for ransom. And then if they don't get money from you very quickly, they will sell you on to the Taliban, who will then ask ransom for you or who will then negotiate a prisoner exchange deal. So that's on the rise in this region, and that's a very severe threat. We also see journalists who are embedded, for example, with the Afghan army. When the army's ambushed, they're ambushed. So recently in Pakistan, a journalist was killed because he reported on a drug deal. So the drug mafia, I guess, killed him. We don't know. The investigation's still ongoing. So the journalists are being targeted. And as CPJ said, they're being targeted because there's immunity and impunity for killing journalists. Nobody is actually investigating and putting on trial those who are perpetrating these crimes. And it's happening all over the world, but particularly in this region.
What about women? Are women more of a target and because they're women?
I don't think so. I think women become a different kind of a target for trolls. So when they want to harass or intimidate a woman journalist, they go after her sexuality and make all kinds of allegations against her. We've seen on Twitter and Facebook, they would paste women journalists' pictures on, you know, nude images, etc. But at the end of the day, they're doing it because of their work, the similar work that male journalists are doing. We've also seen an increase in Pakistan, particularly of intimidation, direct and indirect, from a military. We've seen, bloggers kidnapped and tortured and then returned. A couple of them indicated what happened to them. This month alone, Pakistani journalists across the country protested against harassment. And then the fears not just of, getting killed or getting kidnapped or getting tortured, but in general just getting fired from your job, which for a lot of people in this region is a big concern because they have families depending on them.
Aisha, thank you very much. And of course, I must say, as you would expect, be safe. I know it's dangerous. Thank you, Aisha.
Thank you.
On October 9th, Khashoggi's fiancé, Hatice Jangas, wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post appealing to President Donald Trump to help get to the bottom of her fiancé's disappearance. She wrote in that op-ed, in part, "Although my hope slowly fades away each passing day, I remain confident that Jamal is still alive. Perhaps I'm simply trying to hide from the thought that I've lost a great man whose love I had earned. As an individual who believes that life and death are in the hands of God, I pray to God alone for Jamal's safe return." Khashoggi's fate is one that journalists all over the world are threatened with every day. Here to discuss this grim reality and the state of the free press worldwide is Rob Mahoney, Deputy Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Nice to see you.
Hello.
When I listened to my colleagues, especially like Aisha, it was in a war area, or Jason, who was imprisoned in Iran, the first question comes to mind is, why do they do that job? Why do journalists put themselves in this danger?
Well, because we all live on stories, and one of the things that we need to do, as journalists say, is to bear witness to what's going on, because war, corruption, crime, they thrive in darkness, and it's our job as journalists to shed some light on that, and that's what compels people, often in their own countries, to try to bring some accountability and some transparency to the government that they have.
How dangerous is it, in your opinion? I mean, you know, what do the numbers look like? And I assume that many journalists have died, but there's a difference between dying in the car accident, racing to a story, and being targeted, being assassinated, or stepping on an IED, or being blown up like the woman, like the journalist in Malta a year ago.
It's very dangerous, and as you've been saying in this program, it's getting worse because the lives of journalists seem to be worth less and less to a lot of people around the world. Now, we talk about journalists in conflict, and yes, they're targeted in crossfire, they've blown up with IEDs, but the majority of the journalists that have been killed over the years that we have been compiling figures have actually been targeted. They have been murdered deliberately because of their reporting. Most of them are local journalists, not international journalists, reporting in their own country on their own societies. And because they touch a nerve, because they uncover corruption or expose crime, they are assassinated.
And touching a nerve, we have the situation right now going on in Myanmar, where two Reuters reporters who were investigating a mass grave of Rohingyas, and they were entrapped, at least according to the witnesses, and now they sit in prison for 7 years.
That's exactly right. I mean, the thing that they were doing is that they were trying to get behind a story that the government was putting out that nothing was happening to these people, and they uncovered a war crime, an atrocity. And for that, they were set up by the police, accused of having stolen documents, which they did not. And now, in a mockery of judicial process, they have been thrown in jail. Those are exactly the kinds of journalists in their own country reporting on their governments that are running into trouble. Last year, we at the Committee to Protect Journalists noted that there were 262, at least 262 journalists in prison around the world. That's a record number since we began keeping statistics. And the reason for that is the governments want to shut us up. They don't want us looking for the truth.
You know, I think most American journalists who have such a giant spotlight and could help so much, you know, journalists who are overseas, because we have the protection in our Constitution of free press and First Amendment, that we sometimes don't appreciate, you know, the dangers of what our colleagues go in other countries where there's so much censorship and where there's so much danger. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and I mean, I think journalists around the world look to the United States and to Western liberal democracies, which have a free press, to stand up. I mean, freedom of expression is a universal value. It's a universal right. It's not limited to North America or Western Europe. And so journalists tell me they're looking for the leadership in the United States to defend them when they're in trouble and to actively promote press freedom around the world. And I'm afraid that that's not happening at the moment.
And the other thing that's sort of, you know, is disheartening, and I think it's a responsibility of all of us in journalists, is that you have a situation like now it's Khashoggi. A year ago it was a journalist in Malta who was blown up in a car bomb. Is that we seem to have short attention spans as we report the news and we report the terrible situation, and then we sort of move on, but we still leave that vacuum of danger for the reporters who are left behind.
Yes, well, the problem there is impunity. That's to say that no one is being held accountable and brought to justice for those crimes, whether it's blowing up the car of a journalist in Malta, or now, as we suspect, luring a Saudi journalist inside a diplomatic mission and butchering him. So that's why we need a transparent international investigation into the Jamal Khashoggi case, for example, so that, you know, the authorities can't get away with it and set this terrible example that journalists' lives come cheap.
And we shouldn't let up as journalists until we get that. We shouldn't move on necessarily to the next story until we do get that, hold it accountable. Rob, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And so amid the accusations of political bias and fake news, is a free and vocal press really the enemy of the people? And should you really care who decides what's fit to print? Mil Arcega takes a look at our press freedoms in the 21st century.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, fake, disgusting news.
They've been called rabble-rousers, muckrakers, enemies of the people. But whatever you choose to call these modern-day scribes, the freedom they wield to challenge authority, to shine a light on uncomfortable truths, is an essential part of a civil society, one enshrined in the American Constitution. But forces wishing to silence such freedoms are gaining, especially in places where a free press is not considered a right, in countries from Afghanistan to North Korea. Those keeping tabs say more journalists have been killed in the first 9 months of 2018 than in all of 2017. More troubling are the increased attacks in the West, once considered the bastion of a free press. The Committee to Protect Journalists attributes some of the increased animosity on anti-press rhetoric from populist leaders who conflate facts with political agenda. Further compounding trust in the media is a sheer volume of information on the Internet, where anyone with a blog can call themselves journalists. Add to this the rise of fake bloggers and Russian troll factories, and the line between truth and fake news is further blurred. Media analysts say such an unprincipled landscape paints all journalists with a tainted brush. And yet, despite the risks, the role of a free press has never been more important, shining a spotlight on the abuses and the corruption of the powerful, and amplifying the messages of those without a voice. Mil Arcega for VOA News.
Before we go, VOA Director Amanda Bennett issued this public statement on the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The disappearance and possible murder of the U.S.-based Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul 1 week ago is a grave reminder of the serious threats facing journalists worldwide. VOA and all of us at the U.S. Agency for Global Media believe freedom of the press is critical to democracy and good governance, and that journalists must be allowed to conduct their work without fear of intimidation, harassment, or worse. If Turkish government reports of the killing or abduction of Khashoggi are true, it represents a serious new level in the already growing tide of threats and persecution worldwide. This, in turn, seriously threatens the mission of us all to report the truth and increases the risk to all journalists working worldwide, including those in USAGM networks, Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Middle East Broadcasting Network, and Office of Cuba Broadcasting and Radio Free Asia. We call on all governments to do more to support these core values and to react strongly and appropriately to this grave matter involving a U.S.-based journalist and two U.S. allies. That's all the time we have for today. Stay plugged in by liking us on Facebook at Voice America. And you can also like my Facebook page at facebook.com/Greta. And do follow me on Twitter at Greta. Thanks for being plugged in. We leave you with images of journalists killed around the world this year in memoriam.